The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a stretch of level ground with a great crowd of his disciples and a large number of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon. And raising his eyes towards his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude and insult you, and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven, for their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in this way." The Gospel of the Lord.
Once again, thank you for having me this evening. It's good to be here with you. Most of us remember the newspaper. Now it's something that seems to be in the past. It seems to have moved to the digital platform. We have to sit at our computers or perhaps pull out our tablets and read the newspaper. But in some cases, there still are printed editions. We still get them in our mailboxes, or perhaps we still get them delivered in some way. Well, now when I was younger, I had a paper route. I enjoyed that little paper route. Remember, the papers would come in a big bundle by a big truck and be dropped off in your driveway sometime late in the middle of the night. And then you wake up at 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and there they are waiting for you. You pick up that bundle and you take them inside and you cut the strings on there and you begin to fold them. And pretty soon you have a big pile of newspapers. You put them in your carrier's bag and you plan out your route and get on your bicycle and off you go. When people woke up the next morning, there was their newspaper on their driveway, perhaps maybe at their front door. But when people receive their newspaper, they open it up and there's different things they like to look for. Perhaps maybe they like to just read the headlines, see what's going on around the city or perhaps around the world. Some like to read the comics and some like to read various editorial columns. But one time in the newspaper, there was a column called Dear Abby. Most of us are maybe familiar with that, probably have heard of it before. But in one of the Dear Abby columns, there was an actual letter that read this: "Dear Abby, 15-year-old girl," and she wrote to Dear Abby saying, "Happiness is not having your parents scold you if you could come home late, having your own bedroom, and getting the telephone call you've been hoping for. Happiness is belonging to a popular group, being dressed as well as anybody, and having a lot of spending money. Happiness is something I don't have." And shortly after that, Dear Abby column appeared in the newspaper. There was another Dear Abby reply, so to speak. It was from another little girl. And the column read, "Dear Abby, happiness is being able to walk and talk, to see and hear, Unhappiness is reading a letter from a 15-year-old girl who can do all these things, and still, she isn't happy. I can talk, I can see, I can hear, but I can't walk. 13 crippled and happy. Certainly two different letters. They reflect two different points of view on happiness. But today's gospel on the Beatitudes do the same for us. In our first reading this evening, or this Sunday, it emphasizes that those who trust in the Lord are truly blessed. And St. Paul in his letter to the Corinthians teaches that just as Christ died and was resurrected to eternal union with God, so shall those who belong to Christ. And in our gospel, Jesus preaches the famous Sermon on the Plain to a vast crowd, lifting those who yearn for the world and decrying those who do not follow, rather follow the falseness of the world. As we hear our readings this evening, altogether our readings emphasize that our eyes should be fixed on the things of this world. They should also be fixed on Christ as well. We need not find true fulfillment in this world. Rather, this world is passing away. When our eyes are fixed on Christ, we can see so much more. Our hearts can be filled with much joy and blessedness, happiness in God, and our reward that we can see in Christ is everlasting life. We are faced with a challenge when it comes to living our daily lives. Certainly, according to the Beatitudes, there are two ways. There's life and then there's death. And there's certainly a difference between these two ways. The way of life is the way of Jesus. The way of the Beatitudes, the way of loving service to God and our brothers and sisters in Christ. When we provide this, it certainly leads to eternal life. The other way is death, the falseness of the world. When we tend to follow self-centeredness, self-worship, self-indulgence, in immediate self-gratification, it leads us away from Christ, ultimately leads to death, spiritually and physically. We should ask ourselves, which way are we going? The challenge of the Beatitudes, are we going to be happy in this world's way or Christ's way? If we choose the world's way, are we seeking the wrong way? Perhaps the greatest challenge we all face is living each day as brothers and sisters who care for one another. This is why, down through the centuries, individuals, congregations, and churches, bodies of Christ, have practiced charity in creative ways of faithful giving and putting together each other's heart and opening up soup kitchens, food banks, and clothing centers, homeless shelters, and housing programs. Individuals are taken under the wings that we provide for them, and they seek God's love and compassion, and we grow in the blessedness of the Beatitudes. The beautiful aspect about this is that every time we reach out and help those who are needy and sick and oppressed, we share with them the foretaste of the Beatitudes. Just as the apostles were called to minister in society, to the untouchables, to the discriminated, to the marginalized, we too are called to do the same thing in our home cities and towns. In the last century, there was a Belgian priest named Father Damien who went to live on a remote island out in the Pacific. Father Damien tried to live the values of the Beatitudes. He was pure in heart, merciful, hungry, and thirsty for righteousness. But yet, he was also challenged. He was publicly persecuted for doing what he believed was right. His biographers labeled him as lonely, depressed, and stubborn. Even his immediate superiors branded him as being a troublemaker. The Catholic Church had to wait a very long time to canonize this priest. His name is Father Damien Malachi. He became a saint in 2010. But people who truly knew Father Damien can call him happy, call him certainly blessed. One of the biggest challenges that a person faces when riding their bicycle is riding uphill. It can seem as though it is impossible at times. It takes courage and strength and determination. Being a disciple of Christ and living out the Beatitudes can feel the same way in our own daily lives. However, Jesus sees the sacrifices that we make and the generous resources that we put forth. He sees our humility as we try to forgive one another. My brothers and sisters in Christ, as we go forth in the peace of Christ, may the Lord provide for us the grace to trust his blessings, especially when the call to discipleship seems all too hard. Let us pray for the grace needed to open the eyes of our hearts to see those around us, to see them more clearly, especially in their need. The way to open the gate of heaven on earth is by providing that love of Christ from our hearts to those in need. Amen. At this time, Father Irwin reminded me, even earlier this morning, that it's annual Catholic Appeal Commitment Weekend. We were introduced to the annual Catholic Appeal last weekend in all the churches throughout the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City in Western Oklahoma. Perhaps maybe you've already received an envelope that looks similar to like this. And perhaps you, as you look in your pews, you will find those envelopes. And thank you. This weekend we are conducting the 2025 Annual Catholic Appeal Faith in Action. The appeal not only provides an opportunity for you to support the important ministries that impact many programs outside of our parish boundaries, but it also supports the services the Archdiocese provides directly to our parish, like youth ministry, marriage, preparation, and OCIA, and more. The goal as an archdiocese is to raise $4.5 million and increase household participation. If our parish meets our participation goal of 19%, we have an opportunity to receive a grant back to our parish. It is my hope that every household in our parish contributes and makes an effort this year. Our portion of the overall goal here at St. Joseph's Parish is $75,000. Every gift, no matter the amount, makes a difference. Let's make our goal together. This year, there are two ways that we can complete our generous gift. The first is online. In the pews, you will find prayer cards and envelopes with a QR code on it. The QR code gives you access to the 2025 appeal online giving form. You may open the camera on your phone, hover the camera over the QR code, and then you will see a small yellow notification pop up on your phone. Tap on that notification and your phone will be redirected to you to give a donation in another form. If you're having issues with the QR code, you can access the page by typing archokc.org/appealgift into your internet browser. If you prefer to contribute through a hard copy, please fill out the envelope and place your money, preferably a check inside. Seal it up and our ushers will take it from you. They will mail it off. For those of you who have already contributed, maybe you've received something at home, God bless you and thank you. Thank you very much. Before I give everyone an opportunity to support the 2025 appeal, I want to make a special mention of contribution through a monthly gift. Making a monthly gift helps the Archdiocese with their many needs, apostolates, and the work they do for making discipleships. We can make a gift of $50 or $75 a week. Would be absolutely wonderful if you're able to do that from your own heart. But our Archdiocese, our Archbishop Coakley, asked us to please participate in this effort. At this time, I'll give you a few moments to fill out your online forms or your envelopes. When completed, please seal the envelopes up and bring them back next week if you would like. Or you can mail them off yourself. Mail them to the Archdiocese, or you can leave them here with us. So please take a few moments and look at your envelopes and look at the printed information, and then we will continue our celebration this evening. On behalf of Archbishop Coakley, myself, and Father Joe Irwin, your pastor, and our parish community, we thank you for supporting the 2025 Annual Catholic Appeal. I look forward to updating you on our appeal progress as we go forward. Once again, thank you to all of you.